Above all, that's a subject that keeps you in focus in life. It's something that's real easy to overlook when you begin observing many of the events that are so timely and are coming to pass at this time, such as the New World Order, and so much other prophecies coming to pass in your generation. But you never want to overlook above all. It's a Greek word that, let's see, it's proton. And in this age, that word will seem rather familiar to you, even in English, because it has become a prominent word in certain fields. Explosives, this sort of thing. And it is rather explosive. And I suppose if we took the etymology all the way to the bottom, it means that it's the smallest part or the first part that you have to use to start putting things together. In other words, we could even go one step further and say it is so small that you've got to have it to start building other things, okay? And so it is with the word above all, and it's normally translated in your King James Bible as first. It means probably in English first in order as well as importance. And this word is used several times in the Septuagint in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. It is used in different ways as an example of things that you should use for. Let's take example in Luke, the 14th chapter, after Christ said that you must love Him more. Well, as it's translated in English, that you've got to, if you don't hate your mother, father, brother, sister more than me, but it's a mistranslation. It means if you don't love them less, because after all, I love you enough that I'm going to give my life, flesh life, that is to say, for you, so that you can have that freedom. But he said, following that, but if a man decides to build a building, he must first, that's to say, proton. If he's a wise man, sit down, figure the cost of the building, the time, and everything else. Otherwise, you might build a beautiful building and not have an elevator or a stairway. You know, it's got to be planned properly. So does your walk with God in understanding His instructions to you. That's what Christ was telling you. Don't make a fool out of yourself. Sit down, keep things in their proper place, take things in order, take that is first, no jumping around. And you could liken it into what a lot of you do when you buy a new barbecue grill or something. You put that rascal, I don't need instructions, no, and you put her together and found out you left the burner out of it, you know, so you take it all apart. But you have to go by His instructions, and proton, above all. You've got to remember that. It's very simple. I think, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 13. That's a chapter we use quite a bit, because it has to do with the time that Christ was asked, what's going to happen? When are you going to return? When is the second advent going to take place? And He gave them seven events, being the same as the seven seals or the seven trumpets. But proton is used within that once, which means first of all, before any of this starts coming together, we've got a first of all, proton. And we find it in the 10th verse of that 13th chapter. What does it say? It says, and the gospel must first, that's above all, proton, first in importance, first in time, must first be published among all nations. Now, in your mind, go back, what's the subject here? What's the object? The question was, when's the second advent? And the subject is, as you read there, you're going to be delivered up. There'll be wars and rumors of wars and so on and so forth. But First, I'll even say before anybody flies away, all right? That's what that means. You know, you can't fly until you build the airplane, all right? I mean, as an old pilot, that's just common sense. You can go out and flop your arms or wings all you want to. You're not going anywhere, all right? You've got to do it by God's plan. So first, these things must happen before the second advent comes to pass. Let's cover now the ninth verse to pick up the subject matter. Well, what first? How's it going to be done? But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, which is to say Sanhedrins, and in the synagogues, that's the synagogue of Satan when he appears as instead of Christ, ye shall be beaten, browbeaten if you allow it, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake for a testimony, I repeat, testimony against them. For them? No. Against them, because proton, the gospel must first be published, therefore it comes through your lips. Well, I'm not that great a speaker. Well, I'm not either. Really not. I'm just a teacher of God's Word. So how do we gain that? Well, let's read verse 11 and find out. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought. That means don't premeditate beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour. And you know what hour we're talking about. That speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So, first, that must come to pass so that you can speak. No. The prime thing that must be accomplished is that first, the gospel, that's the good news, must be published. And it's published by the Holy Spirit speaking through those. Is it not written in Luke chapter 21 that when you are delivered up, which is a profile of this same chapter, that even the gainsayers are convinced? Dynamite, proton, boy, the Holy Spirit does a magnificent job. The Holy Spirit gets it done. Can do Spirit. But He uses people to accomplish that. So, what does that mean then? If we just get it down in a nutshell, it's very simple. Before anything happens, before the second advent takes place, there is one thing that's first in order, first in importance, and that is that the gospel be published through those that refuse to bow a knee to instead of Jesus. That's to say, the false Jesus that will appear. As you know, He performs miracles. Many will call you names and stand against you for saying, this is the Lord that's come to rapture us away. Join us. Get on the bus, you know. And when you say no, they're going to call you a blasphemer, a hypocrite, a hater of Christ. But proton, the Holy Spirit, protects you. You have power, especially at this time. This must come first, and it shall come first. Now let's go to another example of it, and I'm giving you some scriptures that you should be very familiar with. If you start to build something, sit down. If you start something for God, think about it. Know which direction you're going. Know how to read the blueprint, which is God's Word. Don't make a fool out of yourself. Do it His way. Keep things in focus. That's when you get in trouble. It's when you get carried away and get the cart before the horse, and that sucker kicks. Okay? All right? Now, did I say that right? Well, whatever. Whatever. Okay? Friends, you've got to do it His way because He's our Father. And He gets a little discouraged with you when you get out on your own without consulting proton. He's saying, child, now listen, this comes first. And, of course, within that, what do you see? That the gospel must be published? Love. God does not want this earth age to end without everybody in the flesh has an opportunity to hear what you hear. That is to say, His Word. Without having ears that can't hear, they're going to be opened. And they're going to listen to you. It won't be done from television ministries or the little church on the corner. It's going to be done in a big church. It's called the revival of the century. It's the revival of all time where Christ has returned, only He's a fake, this one is, to convert the world. And of course, with the mindset of the world, you know exactly where that's going. You know. Well, they deserve a chance to know it too. And that's why your Father is going to give them that opportunity through many of you, through all of you, basically. So, proton. Fantastic word. Above all, this must come first. Now, let's find another example. It's not used all that many times in the New Testament. I would dare say that many of you, after I mention 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you're going to say, oh yeah, that's it. So let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul had written the first letter to the Thessalonians, and basically that's where the rapture theory comes from. It's the seedbed of it. Where he spoke about when Christ died, you know that He went to the Father immediately, and those of you that are in Him do also. And they twist that. So he wrote this second letter. And you know what the subject was, but let's pick it up in verse 3. Verse 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means. Well, now that's self-explanatory, isn't it? There's a lot of people who would like to try, friend, get you out of focus. For that day shall not come. What day? Well, we'll find out the subject and the object in a moment, and then it'll really clear up. Except there come a falling away first. There it is. Proton. In other words, don't even think about anything else. This. Before we gather back to Him, this is going to take place. What? And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is the son of perdition? Perdition means to perish. And you have no choices in that. There's only one entity that has absolutely been judged and sentenced to die from the first earth age. Ezekiel 28, that's Satan. He's always wanted to be Messiah. That's how he got in trouble in the first place, on the altar of God, prancing around on the coals of the altar there. And Ezekiel 28, wanting to be it. And his little pride got the best of him. First, he must be revealed. And now let's go with before what? It's the same subject, friend. Verse 1 of that second chapter. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together to Him. In other words, I want to talk to you about that. First, there must come the apostasy and the revealing of the false Messiah standing in the holy place, if we were to take the next verse, claiming to be God, showing the world that He is God, showing the world that He is Jesus. Did it say second? Did it say maybe second? No, He said, I beseech you, don't get messed up. First, proton. The first little building block we have to do before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is to see this one claiming to be Christ sitting in the holy place. Boy, that is so absolute. Above all, it doesn't leave any choices, though some man might try to deceive you into giving you a choice of flying away. Okay? I mean, here you're driving down the freeway and zonk. You're gone. You're out of here. Okay? I don't know where you're going because he's coming here. But, you know, good trip. All right? So, but this is a very simple focus. Don't allow the excitement of the moment of seeing world prophecies coming to pass with the speed that they are take you away or cause you to lose focus of what's first. Because you can get in much trouble, even in trying to understand prophecy. You know, that looks like that would fit there. Hey, you got to take what's first and build on matter. You're going to be the person building this building, and you're going to get up to the 10th floor and forget and realize you forgot the first. And there's going to be a fall, okay, in your mind. You've got to do it His way. It's so simple. That's one thing I'm glad that children even study with us because of the simplicity in which Christ taught. Now, if we were to expand upon this, and I think we should, what does He tell us then about the appearance? If that's got to come first, if that false one before the true Christ returns comes first, what does He tell us will be happening and how we can recognize exactly the current events and other things? And that's very simple. That's why that you're taught to use types. So very simple. Anyone can realize that. We go back to the types. In other words, as it is written, and you've heard me repeat this probably 1,000 times, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, those things happen whereby you can know and understand what's happening as an ensample, example to you at the ends of this world. A child can grasp onto that. Nothing to it. So, let's just pick a chapter, if we may. We've mentioned the book of Ezekiel. Let's take chapter 12 of the book of Ezekiel. Let's find out how it's going to come to pass and basically what people are going to be saying and doing. Chapter 12, verse 1, I'm going to kind of skip through this so that we have the general idea. The whole purpose of this lecture is to cause us to focus on those things that must come to pass first. Do you know that makes it real easy? If you're crossing a stream and it's running pretty good, and the last time when we were down in Kentucky, we practiced this art several times. There's stepping stones. If there's not any there, you get big old chunks and throw them in there and build stepping stones if it's too cold to get your feet wet. Well, you don't step over to the last stone unless you're a quite a jumper. No, you use the first stone. Because unless you like carrying stones, they're going to be set to the average stride anyway. You always go to the first stone, make that first step, and then plan the next one. Now, He has told us what the first step is. So, let's go now and see how it solidifies, how it formulates as a type. Chapter 12, verse 1. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, we know this is our Father speaking. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear, and they hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Now, I wonder how many of you might have discussed with a relative or a neighbor or a friend or somebody you work with just planting seeds, and you tried to tell them, hey, look how simple it is. The false Messiah is coming first. And what did they say to you? You're nuts. Okay. My reverend says, okay, my revolving rev has this statement, all right? So, we do live in a rebellious house. God's Word is simple. He makes it so obvious. They have eyes. They can read it. They're educated. Can't see it. There's a reason for that also, as you know. In many cases, it's for their own protection. Verse 3, therefore, thou son of man, prepare these stuff. That's baggage. For removing. In other words, pack up your bags and look like you're traveling, all right? And remove by day in their sight. Make sure they see this. And thou shalt remove from the place to another place, from thy place to another place, in their sight, it may be. They will consider. That means they're going to think. Boy, how different that would be. They're going to think for themselves a moment, though they be a rebellious house. In other words, God likes to simplify things whereby His children could understand. And that's the way you would teach little children also, you know. We're going to give you a type. Act like you're making a trip, because see, their false prophets are telling them what? I probably should have fixed the place here if you can't remember for sure. We're going into captivity of Babylon. The king of Babylon's coming, which is that son of perdition we were talking about earlier. He said, go out there, Ezekiel, and give them an example that you're moving, because they're going to move out of this place. They're gone. They're going to move into captivity. Naturally, in the end times, that reverts to a spiritual sense, and it means confusion of the mind. That's what Babylon is, the base root. Confusion, Babel, because of their rebellion, drifting away from the Father's Word, and don't look too close at them because they're well on their way, all right, well on their way. Now, what did he use Jeremiah as in this case? I'm going to skip down to verse 6. Do this moving in their sight. Shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders and carry it forth in the twilight? Thou shalt cover thy face that thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign. Now don't read over that. I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And beloved, Ezekiel, if you would, was a type of God's elect in the end times. That's what he's doing with you, whether you realize it or not. You're a sign. You're a sign in living color, living life, to our people. Of taking the truth of exactly, that's to say what was the word Ezekiel was acting out here? God's word. You are a sign to the people. Many of you say, well, what am I doing? A lot. You know, when I began teaching 40 years ago, I would say that we had a congregation all over the country of maybe 50 or 100. 200 or 300 maybe. All over the country. Nobody else wanted to listen, and about half of those were off on nut trips half the time and wanting to do it all themselves and so forth, getting trouble here and trouble there. And nobody really wanted to seem to get into God's Word. That's changed. It has really changed. And I realize that God has given us a platform where we get a good leverage. But He promised He would, and He has, and He always does. But people are listening to you. You could never imagine how many people will write and say, I'm ordering this tape because this good friend of mine that studies with you told me about it. You're a sign. You're important in fulfilling God's overall plan of using that is proton, setting it in place, whereby when that sign even magnifies to a place of publicity in the great house of conversion, all right, that's instead of Jesus' nice place, and it'll be a nice one, that those words will come forth and He will have an opportunity to do a wonderful sign through you. But all the more you can begin to realize how important it is. We've got to do it His way. Therefore, we have to pay attention to what's first. Okay? He's saying, give them an example. So we do that. And you in this ministry now, just think, this will be the first year it's ever more than doubled in households in 1 year. And another continent, a hemisphere, I should say. Another hemisphere, all in 1 year. And it was so easy that, you know, we had been working on that thing with crowbars and our friends in Europe and everywhere else trying to, I won't say beg, borrow, or steal, but that's a figure of speech that you know what I'm talking about. And it just fell in our laps. Because he wanted it. Okay? So, yeah. So you have to keep doing it his way and keep things in priority. And know that it's not really us that does. It's not really you, though you're assigned. It's him working through you. You become a vessel, that clay pot that he uses to carry forth his work. Okay, so he shows old Jeremiah, I'm sorry, Ezekiel, we're teaching Jeremiah now, and it just plops right out there. He shows old Ezekiel, let's drop on down if we may. He talks about Zedekiah in verse 12, let's go to 13. My net also will I spread upon him, God speaking, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon. I'm going to bring them to confusion, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Naturally, you know poor old Zedekiah had his eyes gouged out, and saw his kids murdered in front of him, and he did die there. You've got to do it God's way, or it's painful. That's the point. Especially when you know, and he should have, he was the king of the royal seed of Judah, should have known better, but he didn't practice what he knew, okay? So, verse 14, and this goes future, and I will scatter toward every wind or spirit all that are about him to help him. Verse 14, and this goes future, and I will scatter toward every wind or spirit all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. 15, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That's the purpose, beloved. They've got to know there is a God. This old business of, how do you know there's a God? That's going to stop. When I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. In the future sense, that's come to pass. We could take a huge map of the United States and the surrounding countries, the Bahamas, Canada, down south, Trinidad, other places. You're in this room. The Holy Spirit is able to fellowship because we're scattered. And it's a good thing we are. If we ever got in one wad, we'd be pretty easy to wipe out. You understand? We don't have to worry about that. That's not going to happen, all right? But I think God keeps us spread so far because sometimes if I had to take this many people in one church that are God's elect and kings and queens, that are all so sharp and have so much talent, you'd be fighting a little bit. Because you're leaders, and you've got to be out where, bloom where you're planted, where you can lead. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Pastoring a church of the elect is a very difficult job if you try to pastor it yourself instead of letting Christ pastor, okay? Woo, they're sharp people. And, oh well, I don't know why I said that, but it did, all right? I love you and I'm glad you're here. I want you to know that anyway. I'm proud of you, I love you, and thank God for people that can think for themselves and can do something about it. By that I mean that are can-do type people. Praise God for you. You're a sign, and that's why he chose you, and you chose him. Verse 16 continues in the future sense, but I will leave a few men, and no gender there, that means people, of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen, whither they come,
and they shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, I'm going to leave a few, a remnant down through the years that are going to be able to see the truth, be able to hear the truth, so that they can scatter or be assigned to the people to let them know this is wrong. It's an abomination to look at the fallen prince, Lucifer, as Jesus. Here you call yourself a Christian, and if you believe that, in a sense, it's heathenistic. That means a person that has no religion. So, that's what he left you for. That's why he scattered you. There was a purpose in it. Leaving that remnant, there has always been a remnant that knew the truth up to the final generation, and then it is his election that shall be the sign and perform these things. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink thy water with trembling, and with carefulness. What is the famine in the last days? I mean, there was a famine here, see, but this is symbolic, and it's for hearing the word of God. So what's he talking about? You eat your truth very carefully. You absorb your truth, my truth, his, God's word, very carefully and with quaking. That means prayerfully, digesting it, absorbing it. Why? Proton. Keep first. Don't get second first, third first, or get all confused. Stay focused on the Word. That's what he's talking about. Be a sign. 19, and say unto the people of the land, Thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. We always go back to that city. And the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. My friend, we've got it today. We have violence in every city. When you look around us, it would seem that if I were the type that is a doomsdayer, I'd say we've lost a generation almost. We haven't. But boy, would it seem that way if you didn't know God was in control. It is amazing at some of the questions that some people who don't know me or study with me, let me put it that way, will come up and ask about the Bible. As if, you really think that's the Word of God? That's what they'll say, you know? Well, there are so many proofs within it, if you take a moment to study it, to know it's true. And one of those truths we'll be discussing tomorrow morning before Passover. That's how that something written 1,000 years before come to pass, detailed by detail, proton, first, right down the line. But they're biblically illiterate. No one has taught them. But it's within the plan of God, and that's what makes you so special, because those seeds are being planted. And they will be more so when that must be done first is accomplished. And I assure you, it shall come to pass. I don't feel you have to wait too awful long. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. All right? Okay. And the verse 21, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have heard in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? In other words, God's Word comes to nothing. It's the same today as it was always. There's nothing new under the sun. Well, you see, I confused the truth with a false statement. There is nothing under the sun new, because we've had hypocrites and closed ears from the beginning of time. And that's what they are when they won't truly open up and listen to their true Father speak to them. They've always been with us. But what is this proverb? And you've heard people say it. It ain't going to happen. You're just kidding yourself. Stick around, friend. What is this saying? And you hear it quite often, I'm sure.
23. Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. In other words, God's saying, every word is going to be fulfilled. Just stick around. It will be. 24, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. In other words, you're not going to have any more of these fake preachers out there that are trying to preach God's Word rather than teaching it. When they're unlearned and know nothing about what I said, and there is a reason they do it, we'll get to that here in a moment. He said, there's not going to be any more false teachers. 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. Now, do you think that's come to pass? Do you think we don't have any more lying preachers in the world, you know? Fake divinationists. God spoke to me today, and the rapture is just crawling right up on us here. And there you go. You see, in other words, my point, that hasn't happened. Absolutely has not come to pass. Why do I say that? I want you to know He's talking to you. Okay. He's talking to you. Okay, so with that thought in mind, drop all the way down to chapter 13. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, minds, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, not the Holy Spirit, not the spirit that you follow, but their own spirit, their own mind, and have seen nothing. They ain't seen nothing, they don't know nothing, and they ain't going nowhere, all right, except in trouble. Verse 4, O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes of the desert. Have you ever seen a fox of the desert hunt? Ooh, they're sneaky, slippery, and so on. You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And what day is that? It's the day of the Lord. That's the one we've been talking about. The return of Messiah, the true Messiah. In other words, you haven't gone out and prepared the people's minds for that is above all, that is true, that shall come to pass first. And then he continues on, and he tells them, you false prophets do this. You build a wall for the people, and you daub it. That's whitewash it. Well, have any of you used the old whitewash outside and seen what happens when it rains? Just kind of melts down, and there goes your beautiful white down the drain, you know, the ditch, all right? It don't amount to nothing. God is your wall. Always will be. That's Ezekiel chapter 38. He's your wall even in the final conflict, and you'd better be behind that wall. Not some wall that a bunch of religious people have daubed up and told you, that's your protection. Don't ever worry. I promise you, you'll be all right. Just get behind this wall. Many of you have heard it as, get on this bus, you're going to fly out of here, you don't have to worry about what those other people say, you're going to be gone. All right? That's a fake wall, friend, and it's coming down. As a matter of fact, if many of you remember what chapter we're reading here, you know what's in this 13th chapter. Let's enjoy it, okay? This is the wall he's talking about. Pick it up in the 16th verse. To wit, I would rather say For they are, speaking of these fake prophets, for they are the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. There's not any peace until the Prince of Peace returns. They're going to say it. You hear it every day. Verse 17, likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own, I repeat, own heart, and prophesy thou against them. He didn't say for them. He didn't say necessarily even be very nice. He said prophesy against them. And, you know, there's one it's one thing to be nice, but if somebody is leading people to an eternal hell, that's not nice. So what are you going to say? I'm not going to be all that nice necessarily when I'm teaching against them, because it's damning and it's dangerous and it's false and it's fake and it's whitewash, and it is not a wall that's going to give them protection. And every time I think of a lot of the senior citizens that have gone and filled those pews for years and years, have never been taught to crack the book, to sit there and say, amen, 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 we're out of here, we're gone. They believe those people. So naturally, never feel guilty about teaching against them. God instructed you to. I don't mean for the sake of being against, but because you are against lies. All right? Verse 18, and say, this is how you're against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Are you saved? Do you love Jesus? Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come into you? As you've probably heard me translate this before, what God is saying, my saving arms are outstretched, and by your daubing that wall, you've sewn pillowcases and put them over my hands where people can't see my outstretched saving arms. And you teach them they can be saved by tying this little scripture on your neck here or there, remembering this one here. I mean, that's what these signets and, you know, little rolled up prayers and do you think that's past where they wore the little omelets or whatever they call the little prayers around their neck? And here, do you think people don't do that anymore? I don't know how many times a week I'm doing this, I'm losing my wife because she's running off with the carnival man, and I need a scripture to save me. No. Like I need a scripture. One little verse. One little verse won't save you, friends. Okay? Give me a little thing. Saved, saved, saved. It's an easy word to say. But if you're standing behind that white daub wall expecting it to save you, friend, it's going to crush you. It will. We have only one Savior, and it's those arms that they cover over with what? Lies and deception. It's going to happen exactly as it's written. All right? Verse 19. And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread? You're going to do it taking a salary, claiming you're teaching my word and you're teaching some nonsense you made up and it came out of your own head? I heard from God today. I had a dream last month. I had ate some of Granny's old sour pickles. It's been 2 or 3 years old, but that wasn't why I had the dream. Now, people do. God does speak to people. But boy, anytime you dream a dream and it's contrary to the Word of God, you better not claim it came from Him. You better claim it as coming from who it probably came from. It wasn't our Father. If it's contrary to His Word, it's bad news, bad trip, friend. All right? That teach for money. All right? That's one reason I can say that I'm glad that in 40 years of teaching God's Word, I've never accepted a dime salary. And that may sound like, well, why do you say, well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad that I don't even have to make an attempt to defend myself as teaching for money because I've never taken any. That makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Why do you do it then? Because I love my Father, I love you, and I love His Word. Don't ever do it for handfuls of barley, all right? To slay the souls, we're picking back up in that 19th verse, to slay the souls that should not die. Well, what does he mean there? Well, I'll tell you what, friend, if you want to know, just go down to one of them. And I'm not criticizing any church, you know I won't do that, but go down there and tell them you want 10 minutes on the pulpit and tell them exactly what's going to happen and see where they tell you to go. All right? They're going to tell you you're going to hell and they're saving those behind the white wall, okay? And to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies. Boy, and they love to hear it, many of them do. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, because I am against your pillows, that's to say against your hiding with deception my saving arms, wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. I know that couldn't be familiar to any of you, could it? Have you ever heard anybody say you're going to fly to save your soul? It's rapture time, and the word rapture is not even in the Word of God. But on the lie goes, and I'm against it. And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. You are a sign. First, before there's any flyaway, that white wall is going to come down of lies. God's against it. That's why you can rest assured. And you're a sign that will be given a platform through the very anti himself to document that truth from that the Holy Spirit gives you even at that time, not to count what you've got to do before that proton. Is not to get on some corner down here and start passing out leaflets and act like some kind of freak, but to, with common sense, share the word when you know God sent someone that's asking. All right? You know what I'm saying? You know when it's right for you to plant a seed. It's important. Do it. It is a disgrace. It is a shame the percentage of so-called Christian churches that teach this damnable thing that's going to lead people directly to worshiping the son of perdition. It will. And how hurt they're going to be when that wall comes down and they realize what they've done. They're going to turn to you. You're going to have to help them, love them, lead them, direct them, and tell them God does love them. Just because they've been lied to doesn't change the fact that Christ died for us and picked them up. Because that lie is going to hurt a lot of people. Many, as you know, are going to be praying for the mountains to fall on them, but not because they're just ashamed to face Christ because they love Him. But they allowed some reverend to deceive them when they had God's Word all the time. Your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted. And you shall know that I am the Lord. It's going to end. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. In other words, you've made the righteous one, it can be. That's Christ at His right hand there. Sad that this is going on. That's why he's against it. And strengthen the hands of the wicked. It makes it so easy for Satan to operate under the wall of lies. Boy, he can just have a heyday. That he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. By promising him life, eternal life. You're saved if you come here every time that door is open. And if you listen closely to what the preacher says, you're not going to hell. But if you don't show up here and if you listen to somebody else, you're going straight to hell. You're not saved. Well, we've got some strange philosophy. Friends, I'm not making this up. I get letters to this effect all the time, okay? That's what many of the people, to their shock, when they might listen to us a little while and say, hey, that word is really wonderful, and they just can't wait to go down and share it with their local pastor. And boom! I can't believe he said that to me, they will say. He was our pastor, our reverend. I just loved that man. And he talked to me awful. So, you know, it's wake-up time. The alarms are going off, my friends. And people are beginning to listen. And you are the pottery, the vessels that are doing it. You're carrying that word forward. It's causing a stir. It is making a difference. Okay, verse 23, therefore you shall see no more vanity nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. On the first day of the millennium, every knee will bow to the living Father. Every knee. Why? He's not angry at them that much. It's what they're doing that he's angry at. So the field of teaching will open in an atmosphere of love. And then we'll take it from there. But that's a way down the road. A ways down the road. I didn't intend to say way, way down the road. I don't think it's that far. But first things first, and don't you dare ever let anyone cause you to move off focus and not realize these things must come to pass first. Why? Because there are some false prophets telling people that they're going to fly away to save their soul. From what? The tribulation. And they don't know it. But the very saving of their souls as they load up on his boat, I'm speaking of the son of perdition, is the perdition. Their tribulation, rather, they're going through. They're at home there. They're in it and don't even know it. First things first. So, with this lecture, we have our minds synchronized. We know where we're going from here. And tonight, we're going to talk about his return. The second coming, the second advent. We're going to go a little bit into dates. No big deal. God put certain formulas in his word for us to consider and watch, and we're not setting dates. I'm not setting dates, but we're supposed to watch. So we're just going to have some fun in the evening message, and Dennis is going to be speaking to you this afternoon. I know you're going to enjoy that. So just have a... just have a real nice day, and we're going to praise our Father. We're going to love our Father. And then comes tomorrow morning, Passover. It's what we're here for. Inasmuch as you are a sign, it is that seal in the doors of your mind that forces Satan to pass over you. We have such power with the evil thoughts. Some people like to call them negative thoughts. Fantastic. Go ahead if you like. But, hey, we can do it. We can handle it. So, in as much as we have that power, we're going to utilize it. You don't have to put up with that kind of trouble in your life. You don't have to. God intercedes when he's in control, and I assure you, he's in control. I truly believe that we're moving into a new benchmark time. And I know it, all right? I know it. God is opening so many doors that it must be, has to be, a new benchmark, new things. That is to say, new doors opening to whereby you can be a better sign than ever, whereby as this time marching on, prophecies being fulfilled. In line, first, and boy, what an exciting time to live right now. He loves you. He's looking for champions. You know something? I believe you all are. I sure do, or you wouldn't be here today. And I love you for that. Okay. So I think we're going to stop with that.